Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is my great joy to come to you to discuss the wonderful grace of God as found in the book of Galatians. You know, as I have been thinking and studying and reading this precious epistle of Paul, just 6 chapters, how it fits into our present-day situation here in America. I'm speaking of our church relationships. There are so many wonderful people who have accepted the Savior, and they know that Christ has saved them and given them life, and they've become children of God, but for some reason or other, they've never enjoyed their liberty in Christ. They've put themselves under the bondage of the law, a legal bondage. And the more they come, and the more sincere, and the more earnest they are in trying to keep the law, the more miserable they are. And the more prone we are to criticize other Christians who don't do the things that we think they should do, and so on. As I've been studying this book of Galatians, I'm amazed at the strong language which the Apostle Paul uses. And my friend, he does use terrific strong language, as we've been finding it out in the 5th chapter of Galatians, in the first 11 verses, where the gospel gives me liberty, but if I put myself under the law as a rule of life, then I'm in a very, very bad plight. The grace of God is ruined. I'm in bondage. I'm a debtor. And the Christ is of no value to me at all. It destroys my hope. It hinders my growth and my progress in the things of Christ. It brings to an end the offense of the cross, even a little rite like circumcision. If I add that, any kind of a rite, I add that to what Christ did on the cross, I ruin the gospel of the grace of God. That's why Paul could say to the Corinthian church, you remember in the 2nd chapter, when he said, I didn't come to you with words of man's wisdom. I came in fear, in trembling, that your faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but your faith may stand in the power of God. Oh, I wish I could make it so clear that everyone who listens to me on this broadcast will enjoy the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Not license, but liberty. I'm going to touch on that in a few moments, but first of all, let me again make it very, very clear to you that the flesh cannot do anything to merit favor with God. The thing that he wants as Christians is for us to just bow before him and let the Spirit of God, as we yield ourselves to him. As Romans chapter 6 says, before we were saved, we yielded our members unto sin. Now he said, yield your members unto God as instruments of righteousness, that the Lord may be glorified in all that you say and all that you do. How else is the world going to know about real Christianity if we Christians do not live that life which pleases him? I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know the all-sufficient Savior. It may be, perchance, someone is listening in today, and you do not know the Savior. You've tried religion, you've tried different things, you've tried being good, you've stopped doing certain things and given over bad habits, and yet there's no peace there, there's no joy there, there's no hope there. No, my friend, there's no hope in those things. There's only one place where you'll find real joy, real lasting peace, and a real hope, and that is to take God's way, to accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own personal Savior. When Christ died on the cross, he cried out, "It's finished." Our Lord did not do 98% of the work of redemption and leave 2% for you and for me. The Lord knows better than you do how weak we are, how frail we all are. He knows that. He has no confidence in anybody's flesh. He knows you can't keep the law. The law was not given for that purpose. The law was given to reveal sin. The law worketh wrath. The law is a ministration of death. The law can't give life. The law never forgives. The law has no mercy. And one could go on along this line. What I want you to see is that when you come as a sinner and receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, that very moment you become a child of the living God. He forgives you every sin, gives you eternal life, and then he indwells you by the Spirit of God. Your body becomes the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, so that the Christian life, a godly life, is lived by the Spirit through the believer who was yielded unto God. What God wants me to do is to yield myself unto Him. Now remember Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In fact, when we come down into this fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, especially when we start in from verse 16 on, which we'll not be doing today, but as we look into those verses, he goes on to tell us how you and I can live that life which is really pleasing to God. And I know I'm talking to people today who want to please God. The very yearning of your heart is, as Christians, as children of God, you want to please Him. How can I please Him? Now, in the first verse of chapter 5, the gospel gives me liberty. It sets me free. Now, in the second chapter in this division, and by the way, the division is to be sanctified, how we can be sanctified, or as we said in our preceding lesson, the sanctification is by the Spirit, not by keeping the law, chapters 5 and 6. And the first thing was the gospel gives me liberty. And the second thing is the gospel of Christ, of the grace of God, gives me a new motive to live, verses 12 to 15. And that new motive is love. Allow me to read these few verses. I would they were even cut off which trouble you, that is, these false teachers. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The gospel of Christ gives me a new motive. We serve the Lord because we love. And the gospel guards against license. The gospel frees me to live for God, not to live for sin. See, when people tell me, and I've been accused of this, just like the Apostle Paul was accused of it, that if you preach the grace of God, you will free God's people to go out and sin. I remember one pastor saying to me, well, Dr. Mitchell, I think when it comes to the doctrine of the grace of God, I perfectly agree with you. I agree with you that we have a perfect, eternal, complete Savior. I believe that we're saved forever. But I wouldn't dare tell my people that. Why not? Is it because you're so self-righteous you wouldn't do what you shouldn't do? That's what you're really saying. You can stand it, but your people can't stand it. If it's the truth, then let's speak the truth. The gospel gives me a new motive, and the grace of God liberates us from sin as a master. It doesn't free us to sin. In fact, the gospel, the grace of God, guards against license. It is not satisfying to the flesh. The flesh doesn't like the grace of God, because the flesh is primarily selfish. You know that. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. But the Christian serves from a principle within, not from a law without. Can I repeat that statement? The Christian is to serve from a principle within, not from a law without. Not by the law of Moses, but by a new principle within us. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. That's why he says here, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you put yourself under the law, and you become critical of each other, which you do, I know I'm talking about, you will bite and devour one another, take heed, that you be not consumed one of another. You know, I must say this very sadly. Years ago, I've had Bible conferences in churches in different parts of the country, and those churches have been rent asunder. Why? Because they turn from the grace of God to self-righteousness. And when you turn to self-righteousness, then you begin to criticize the other Christian. No love is evident, and first thing you know, you begin to bite and devour one another, and then the thing falls apart. You consume one of another. You see, the principle is from within. For example, a mother doesn't need to be told to take care of her baby. I understand that there's a law on the statute books of our country that mothers must take care of their babies. Our mothers don't need to be told that. It's true, here and there you find a mother who has a baby that she didn't want, and she takes it out on the baby. But you know, you mothers know, that you take care of your baby not because a policeman stands over you, but you take care of your baby because in you there's a law of love. You're united to your child. You love your child. You'll even sacrifice your own life for your child. There's a law in you which causes you and forces you to do the thing you want to do for your baby. Now for us Christians, there's a law in us, the law of divine love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit which has been given unto us. And as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, then we manifest divine love toward others, even to the unlovely, even to those who don't like us, even to those who are opposed to us. We should manifest that wonderful love of the Savior. Oh, how we need this. Christ is sufficient not only to get me to heaven, but to live 24 hours a day. You know, it's an amazing thing. Thousands of people trust Christ for eternity, but they can't trust him for the next 24 hours. Isn't that amazing? Will you do that today? Will you trust him for the next 24 hours? For your life, for your family, for your children, for your own life? To live today for the glory of Christ because you love him and because he loves you. And that love which has been shed abroad in your heart will be evident by the Spirit of God which has been given unto you. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.